welcome to another episode of Write Now, a podcast on the craft and business of writing, presented to you by Broadleaf Writers Association based in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Dawn Major, a Broadleaf board member, and I'm thrilled to welcome DC Phillips, who has just joined the BL family and will be attending our 10th annual Writers Conference, September 20th to 21st at the Decatur Library in Georgia. So make sure you all sign up for the conference and you will meet me and DC there. Today, we are going to be talking about how to tap into our readers' fears across horror subgenres, for instance, cosmic horror, popcorn horror, and hauntology, just to name a few. But I want to give a little bit of a background on DC first. I have just a small bio on him. DC Phillips has received praise for his dynamic and darkly ironic style, and I love this. Once described as Flannery O'Connor meets Tales from the Crypt. That's just wonderful. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia with his husband and two dogs, and he cites Southern Gothic culture and classic horror as two of his major influences. He draws inspiration from his surroundings, from the subtle anxieties of suburbia, yes, and the creaky halls of Victorian Manor. Wonderful. So let's just get right into it. I gave a bit about your background, but I wanted to see what you had to say and like how you got into writing horror.
Yes, Dawn, I am so excited to be here with you and now to be a card-carrying member of Broadleaf. I already, know a lot of Broadleaf members, and they've been telling me how great it is and that the networking is just next level. So I'm super excited about the conference and just being part of the org in general. But yeah, horror is my genre. And like you said, there are so many different subgenres. I know right now elevated horror is having a moment, which would be the sort of equivalent of literary horror. And so now is the best time to be having this discussion about the umbrella that is horror. And, I've always been into creepy things, into horror. I can remember even going all the way back to elementary school. I was always checking out the books with the spooky covers, even the ones that I wasn't supposed to be checking out. I know there was kind of a scary section that was supposed to be third grade and up, and it was off limits. But that
you're
made
so
it
lucky
even...
I went to Catholic school.
Oh, well, hey, there are some terrifying Bible stories. So
there are some terrifying nuns, but there was just no section like that just wasn't there. But that... So you're sneaking that stuff past the library.
Oh, 100%. And, at the same time, I spent a lot of time growing up with my gran before I even got to kindergarten. And so we were reading books together. She was teaching me the alphabet. So by the time I got to school age, I was already into the scary stuff and already ready to go in terms of reading and storytelling and making up my own stories. So it just has come so naturally to me.
Well, that's interesting because I know that you wrote a children's book.
Yes.
What's the name of that again? I had it written down. Oh, Man's Best Phantom?
That's correct. And going back to my own experience as a spooky loving child, there's not a whole lot for kids who are in between picture books and chapter books, right?
Okay.
It's not a seamless transition from the Berenstain Bears and the spooky old tree to Goosebumps. There's not a lot in between. And I decided to target that age group, and I put that book out a couple of years ago. I worked with a design team I found online, and it was so much fun storyboarding because I'm not visually artistically talented necessarily. it was really cool to see my terrible sketches come to life page by page. That is available in English and in Spanish. El Fantasmita Fiel in Spanish.
Oh, that's awesome. So that age group would be what? Between, because I know like a lot of, I've heard adults say that Goosebumps is kind of scary for some kids.
It is. Yeah, I've had really positive feedback from parents of kids in about first to third grade is kind of the sweet spot for the book. You know, I purposefully, my background, my day job is in education. And so the vocabulary was very intentional. There are some words that will challenge readers of that age group for sure. But still enough visual cues so that they're able to understand what's going on.
So you just didn't want, so you just don't like just terrorizing children.
Not necessarily. No. And it's funny,
I'm
I
just
think,
kidding, of course.
yeah, it's funny because when I do book events or I go out and I have a vendor table, selling my books and connecting with readers, a lot of the horror events I go to, my book is not bloody or gory enough for the kids who who tag along with their parents, right? So definitely I'll find, you know, school events. I've done some book talks and some teacher trainings about storytelling. So that's all a lot of fun, and I've gotten some good feedback from spooky kids like myself back in the day.
Aw, I really like that. Well, let's
Yeah.
go back to the subgenre stuff because I this is my experience with horror. You tell someone, okay, what do you do? Oh, I'm a writer. What do you write? Well, I write horror. Ew, I don't like all that blood and gory stuff. But it's truly not, it's because what we were talking about earlier, it's under this umbrella, speculative fiction or horror is on this umbrella. But as we know, like we in the groups that we're in, that encompasses sci-fi and fantasy, and but then there's some really interesting ones that are developing that you had mentioned, like cosmic horror and popcorn horror. So, as the expert, DC, could you just type up a list of all the stuff? No, just kidding. But I would kind of like to know, like, if you go through some of the ones that maybe new and upcoming, or some terminology that I might not be familiar. I'm not familiar with it as much of the terminology. I have no idea what popcorn horror
Well,
means.
yeah, thank you for the flattery there. I have the exact same experience. I have family members and friends who want to be supportive of my writing, but they say, "Oh, I don't read scary stuff." And so, you know, they'll pop up at an event here or there and cheer from the sidelines, but I think what a lot of people don't realize is that horror is so subjective. Right? We all have our own anxieties, insecurities, fears. And because of that, we all have our buttons, right? That different subgenres of horror can push and trigger. So, using the anthology I have coming out as an example, Effigies and Incantations, which you're in.
Which I'm in, but also several Broadleaf members are in this. I mean, I think I might have counted like five or six.
Oh, for
So,
sure. Yeah,
oh,
there
yeah.
are 17 of us total, and I want to say there's really great representation from Broadleaf, from the Atlanta chapter of the Horror Writers Association. So lots of regional friends, that's for sure. And with this anthology, you know, the inspiration was that I had written a pretty traditional haunted doll story, right? And we can all think of haunted dolls back to the Twilight Zone, Goosebumps, Chucky. Everybody has their haunted doll of choice, right? And I wanted to sort of take that. I mean, haunted dolls or possessed dolls, that's a subgenre in and of itself, right? Toy horror. And
Oh, I've never heard of it put that way. That's great.
yeah.
Did you just come up with that, or is that?
Exactly. I mean, I
Make
don't
it up.
know. I don't know about, I didn't coin the term, I don't think.
Oh,
But
okay.
yeah, you know, if you think about it,
Toy horror.
that is sort of a subgenre in and of itself. There's enough subject matter there. There have been enough books and movies and TV shows. But if you look at that, I didn't want to just run through the same tropes. And like you mentioned, there are some Broadleaf and Horror Writers Association members I reached out to directly, like Cann Wiggins and Vanessa Reed. And I said,
Oh,
"Do
I love
you
Vanessa.
have something that could tie into this anthology and fit into this theme. And you know, we kind of branched out to haunted dolls, cursed objects, and diabolical games, and just went wild from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled because we were at the HWA Christmas party, and I don't know if it was you or Mark who was talking. Mark's in it, but I don't think he's a BL member. Was talking about it. I was like, oh, wait a second, diabolical possessed dolls. Oh, I got a little softy.
Yeah,
I
right.
mean,
Mark
the
Monroe, yeah.
universe brought us together. I
110%. And that's what was so cool because as I put the feelers out there, we had stories come in that represent, I would say yours represents sort of a mix of domestic horror. You know, it's stuff that happens, terrifying things that happen within the home. Even
That is my
subtle.
specialty.
Right. Hey, put that on the resume,
Thank
right?
you, family. Thank you, family.
Yeah. But you know, there are these subtle anxieties of family dynamics and of shadows lurking in the toy box and things like that that fall into domestic horror. There's also gothic horror, all about atmosphere, all about ambiance. That's kind of where my stories fit in. We've also got William Sterling represented in this anthology, and he coined this term, so I will not take credit for it,
Oh,
but popcorn flick horror, you know, just good, clean thrills and fun, light on the messaging, but you know, you can extrapolate your own message from what you read. Then we've got body horror, cosmic horror, the list goes on and on. So I just love taking that theme and allowing fellow writers and creatives to see where they can go with it.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about it. It's gonna be such a fun thing to launch it in July. We'll talk about it at the end of this, like when that's coming out. But I know that
Definitely.
you have had, I believe it was in March that your novella Flare came out. And what kind of
Yes.
horror is that?
That one is definitely a classic slasher. It's very much inspired by 80s horror. There's lots of
Ooh.
dark humor infused. I think, you know, I had just watched Fright Night, and there are even a couple of nods to a couple of characters there. Of course, Fright Night's one of my favorites. I had just rewatched it, and that's what sparked the creativity there. We actually even did a launch party and had a screening of Fright Night. So it really is a total celebration of all things, you know, 80s horror.
Love it.
If you like Stranger Things, that kind of
Oh
vibe,
God, yes.
you'll love it.
Yeah, that's what I would mention to you that my novel is a hauntological novel, and I don't know that I've coined that, but I know hauntology is a real term. But with my last book, I was interested in the bystander effect, the psychological phenomenon, and so I played around with that, and that's why it's called the bystanders. But now I'm interested in this whole it's like philosophical concept where and this is really where the Dandy Chronicles and where Little Softie and Effigies and Incantations is coming from, because she's absolutely bombarded by commercials from the 70s, products from the 70s, fashion. It's just all throughout. And so the idea behind hauntology is that there's no time, which is true. There's no past, present, and future. Hold on, my phone's going. There's no past, present, and future. And it's like what the past is really just ghosts in what you're writing. So these cultural items, these cultural events or historical events, or these products that influence us, or commercials, are like our ghost. And so I do like flashback after flashback after flashbacks within flashbacks, and then eventually I'll time travel Dandy into flash forward. So that's kind of a
Love
new
it.
subgenre I'm experimenting with. And
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see what happens with it.
Exactly. And Dandy, people are in for a real, I would say, treat, but also a punch, I think, because,
I did. I hope so.
you know, that's what I really love about your story in particular, is because as a reader, you don't know where the story's going, right? That's what I love about horror. in
Yeah.
general is that you have these tropes that you wear like a cozy sweater or you revisit from time to time, but then you have totally new pieces that continue to shock you even when you feel like you've seen all the twists, you've seen all the jump scares coming. There are still ways that writers can tap into those sort of existential fears and anxieties. I love it.
Too. Well, I know that you've done indie publishing, and I have not gone that route yet, but I am very, very interested in doing that. I'm sure I know some of the broadleaf writers have done that. I went the traditional route this time and did not have a great experience, but I won't talk about that. So I am very interested in indie publishing, and I was wondering if you could just tell us some advice or what your experience is with that.
Yeah, so pre-pandemic, I was in talks with an indie editor slash publisher. I had published a couple of pieces with this person, and I was super excited because this person was very interested in giving feedback on some manuscripts that I sent over. And unfortunately, around 2020,
Yeah.
this person had a total meltdown online, and it was pretty terrible. I think there's still some fallout to this day when I log into Twitter and the other socials.
Yeah. It's
But
still going.
yeah,
It's
and it is. That's the
endless.
scary thing. That's the really scary
That's what,
thing.
yeah, social media is the scary thing.
Right.
Getting
And
canceled is the scary
I
thing.
mean, and that's the thing,
Cancel horror.
the criticism was totally warranted, and we as the authors that this person worked with had the option to pull our work, which I did. But I realized how scary it was that, and how precarious that situation was, that my work, of course, I still had the rights, but my work was associated with this person
Yeah.
who was then being bombarded with negative reviews online, and that trickled down to all of
Yeah,
us.
by default, you are.
Exactly. And so it was just kind of a wake-up call that, hey, if I align myself with this person and they lose everything, I could lose all of the headway I've made. And so not that long ago, actually starting with the children's book, I said, you know what? If that person I tried to work with earlier years ago could do it, why can't I?
Yeah.
And so I started investigating. I aligned myself with some really great people, cover artists like Greg Chapman and now Lynn Hansen.
Yeah.
And
Lens of my Ladies of the Night
right,
crew. Yeah.
exactly. I mean, we have this rich network surrounding us from Broadleaf and HWA and all the other great writing orgs. Aligning with cover artists and designers who can format your manuscript and editors who can go through and, we're all authors. We love the written word, but it's always good to have a set of eyes go through behind
Right.
us for consistency. Really just taking that process seriously and aligning yourself with a team is the best way to go if you are looking into the indie game, for sure.
Well, I will pick your brain about that on a later day, but my experience with my publishers, I thought I was going to have, I'm first of all, I was really impressed with the editing process with effigies and incantations because I was like, let me hold on here. Let's see how this is going to go. Because I've met you, but I didn't know you. And I'm like, okay, this sounds great. This sounds great. Let's see if it is great. And it is great. I thought it was so professional and getting the edits because when I sent my book in, I was like, oh, I have little comments and stuff. And it came back within 2 days that it was
Right.
ready. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yes.
I've had that experience too,
I'm like, you did not read my book.
right. And I've partnered with Anna Dunn, who is a wonderful friend and editor by trade. And she went through, applied her style guide. I mean, we have 17 authors
Yeah.
featured in this anthology. So,
17 different styles.
exactly. And so, what I love about what she does is she helped us retain our individual voices, but added a certain cohesion across the board, a certain unity. And I think sometimes, when people frown upon indie authors or indie published works, that's the most valid complaint, is that there are AI covers or things aren't edited to standard. It doesn't feel professional. So I think taking those pains to stand out and really to be serious about it and serious about the craft really helps you to distinguish what you're doing.
Well, I certainly was impressed. I couldn't believe the only edit I got from my publisher was the title. He didn't think that I should put an S after bystanders. It should be the bystander. Because he said, there's
Okay.
only one bystander. I'm like, again, did you read my book? There's a lot of bystanders. Every story has bystanders. So, yeah, that's the only piece of editing that. So,
Yeah.
I'm ready to cut out the middleman like that. I
I
know.
was gonna say just read the title and gave feedback on that. Yeah.
Yeah, really. So one of the mysteries for me coming into the horror writing world is the con. Everyone's like, I'm going to this con, I'm going to that con, it's Stoker Con, it's Dragon Con. There's so many cons. Can you, in a nutshell, explain what a con is? I mean, I know they cross over. First of all, maybe describe what a con is, like just basically the concept behind it. And then maybe we can talk about a little bit about some of the your favorite cons, and then maybe the best ones, your favorites in the Southeast, since Broadleaf is Atlanta based.
Yeah. We have cons, we have festivals, we have pop-up events, and sometimes we use those terms interchangeably. But essentially, these are all events where we have the opportunity to connect with potential readers, fellow authors, and it is a trial and error process. I will definitely say that. My first experience as a vendor, setting up at a booth, selling books, was at Decatur Book Festival
Oh,
pre-pandemic.
when it was boiling hot.
Oh my gosh, it was miserable, but it was exciting to be there.
Yeah.
So we, as the HWA Atlanta chapter, shared a booth, essentially. We took shifts. And since that event, I was hooked.
Oh.
You definitely learn about the things you need at your table, how you can catch ha the attention of passerby, of the bystanders, if you will. And you learn which events work for you and help you connect with your audience. For me, it helped me learn my audience, period.
But do you have a favorite con or a couple of favorite cons?
I will say, tapping into the book fairs, I was a little nervous because I thought that could be way too much competition, right? But people actually come in with their very specific subgenres that they love, or genres, if it's a multi-genre type of book fair. So those are always great to attend. Typically a low entry fee for reserving a booth. And I also really love the smaller horror cons. I actually attended one in Roanoke, Virginia in April. Yeah, Screamiverse, if anybody is on the lookout. I'm in the Atlanta area, but it was so worth the drive because I think it's one of those smaller cons just starting out. The energy was incredible, even from attendees, because Roanoke had never had anything like this.
And it has a little sordid, haunting history too.
Exactly. So before, people had to drive to Raleigh, to I think Williamsburg. So the people attending were super excited. They partnered with a haunted attraction that helped put it on and promote it. And I will say, the first day, they had a couple of celebrity guests cancel. And I thought, Oh
Oh no.
gosh. Yeah, that's going to take away, but it didn't. It actually kind of pushed the attendees, I think, more in our direction of the vendors and the authors, because, we started having conversations about our favorite horror movies and our favorite horror books. So it really is all about finding your lane. If you write more romanticy, or I know that's having a moment, or if you're more into the fantasy genre or overlap with horror, going to a comic con, Dragon Con, it really is trial and error and networking.
What do you think about moderating groups? And I've moderated before, like Broadleaf and other, in other venues, but like not. I was curious about because I don't think I even. No, I did do one. I was not moderating. I went to the library in Macon, and Crystal was with me too. And they
Awesome.
did this little thing. It was around Halloween for horror writing. But have you ever moderated anything with any horror writers? Or any authors out there?
Yes. Yeah. So at one of the last book fairs, they're put on by Time Traveler, I believe Time Traveler Events in Marietta. If anybody in the Southeast is looking, they put together high quality events. They're so much fun.
Have to write this down. I'll
Yeah.
email you after this.
Right. And that was one of the last ones where I was on a panel again with a few of our friends, like Daryl Grizzle
Oh,
and
yeah.
Jessica Nettles. That was a lot of fun. And again, it's like this, right? It's just having a conversation about something you're passionate about. And in the process, you may find new readers. You may find a new cover artist. You never know. So yeah, I'm all about getting in on those panels wherever I can.
Okay. Well, I think we're pretty much getting to the end of this. I think we've been about 30 minutes. Is there anything else you want to tell us about horror writing or the subgenres that you've been writing in or that you're interested in?
Yeah, I think going back to, I mentioned that I am just starting out in Broadleaf. I am looking to sort of branch out into some different subgenres that overlap maybe with other literary genres. And I'm all about the Southern Gothic.
Oh, yeah.
And right now I'm kind of exploring where that takes me. I have a few projects in the works and coming up. So yeah, I just love connecting with fellow writers over the creative process, participating in workshop groups and things like that. So if you are out there listening and anything I've said has struck a chord that we may have in common, please do reach out.
Oh, that brings me to where we can find you. Could you just please tell our listeners?
Yes, yeah, linktree.com/frightfulfables. You will find me pretty much everywhere at Frightful Fables.
Oh, if you
So
could Google Frightful Fables and your name, it just pops up right there. And
I should pop up.
I did not realize you have what like 12 books out? How many
I do
books?
have I have short stories in a number
Okay.
of anthologies. So from there, I do have the children's book. I have the
The
novella
novella.
we mentioned, a short story collection, which is titled Frightful Fables. It's a lot of fun if you like twists with your horror, Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, that type of thing. And like I said, you never know where you will connect with your audience. I participate in events at Blackstrap. It's a heavy metal venue in
Oh.
Gainesville, and that's where I sell the most children's books, ironically.
That's
So yeah,
insanity.
you just never ever know where you're going to connect with readers
That
of
makes me
any
think
age.
when I went to Whitby in England where Bram Stoker wrote Dracula, and
Yeah.
I followed the pathway of his characters, and they have this massive like goth festival. And I mean the people that live there, they're happy for it because it brings so much business. But they said their dogs would be dressed up in black, all little babies are dressed up in black. It's that, man, you could make a fortune there.
Yeah. Oh
Just
my gosh, I would love that. Take
go
me
to the
with you.
UK. But I did want to mention before we wrap up that the event at Johns Creek, that's at the 26th of July at 5 p.m., correct? And that's
Correct.
the release of Effigies and Incantations, which features many broadleaf writers and in the anthology. And I'm so excited about going to this event and being around
Yes.
everybody.
Yeah, it's a Saturday afternoon, evening. Feel free to drop in. We'll have cake, champagne, do a little toast.
Yes.
Everyone involved in the project will have a lanyard on. And so if you attend, you'll get your book signed by everyone involved. Feel free to
Oh,
ask
yes.
questions. Yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Well, I really appreciate you coming on for the right now and Broadleaf Writers Association, and I am thrilled that you're part of our little family now.
Yes, thank you for the warm welcome. All
Yes. All right. Well, thank you.
right. Bye, Dawn. Thanks for
Bye.
this.
No problem.